I'm very happy to have Alexei Stafeyev here. He's a PhD student in the application security group at CISPA in Germany. And he will be talking about the Jura scanner and leveraging LLMs for task-driven web app scanning, and how they have been using LLMs to to build a web application security or a web application scanner, and sharing their insights and learnings on their way there. So I would kindly ask you to welcome Alexei on stage and handing over to you.
Thank you. Thank you for this introduction. I hope you all still have some energy left, even though this is the last talk of this track. I'm Alex. I work at CISPA. I'm a PhD student there. And I work in web security. And today we're going to be talking about not about the security for AI, but AI for security. Let's just get started. I have a small exercise for you first so that you can get refreshed after the previous talk. So how many of you have seen this person? All right, great. So for those who don't know, your task is to find this person. Can you find this person? I'll give you a couple of seconds. It's probably pretty hard also to see from the back, but nevertheless. And what about now? Okay, we see a bit more. I think I see someone in the bottom right corner, right? But it's a false positive. No. It's not him. Yeah. And you probably wouldn't be able to find it still, because it's still not a full picture. And with this, I want to make an example of the core principles of the security scanning and testing in general, that more coverage typically results in more opportunities to find vulnerabilities. Or in other words, the more you see, the more you can find. And ideally, you should see the full picture to be able to find everything there is to find. But that's not always the case. Of course, this applies to web security scanners as well. You can imagine them as the small little robots from the robots.txt file. They share the goal of the finding vulnerabilities, albeit they are doing it automatically, and ideally without even any human intervention. But that also means that they, like as we humans, they also need to gain some coverage on the web application. They need to explore it as much as possible, right? And traditionally, automatic website scanning tools were doing some button clicking and typing some letters in the forms, and that's basically it. That's how they operated most of the time. And this have worked quite well in the past, when the website looked like this. However, modern websites have become so complex that this simple toolkit is actually no longer sufficient to explore the application logic. And the problem is that they click the buttons without actually reading what's on them. They just see some button, they click on it, and that's basically it. And you'll probably ask, well, surely there has been some research in that all these years. And you'll be right. In fact, there has been so much research that we actually wrote a whole paper out of it. And I won't bore you with some details, but the most interesting part that we learned from that is that so we took all these different algorithms that you can use for the crawling and measured them across three different metrics, like form coverage, link coverage, and also code coverage. And what we learned is that while there is no single algorithm that works best for exploring the web application, randomized approaches actually were one of the best ones. Interesting. And it makes you think, where do we went wrong so that randomly clicking on buttons actually works better than any other heuristic-based approach? And for that, I want to give you one example of the web application, which you actually may be quite familiar with. This one. It's a Deutsche Bahn website, and you probably used it at least once in a life if you're here. And I would argue that even sometimes humans struggle with the logic on such websites. You have a typical form to select your destination, where you come from, then some additional parameters for your journey. And this is just a single step, right? And this is what we call like multi-step workflow on the websites. And to complete a workflow, you need to complete, for example, in this case, like 5 steps, and all of them are complex, and you need to complete them in a very specific order. You need to click on a very specific buttons. And if you fail at one of them, you actually need to go back and redo it everything from the beginning. And this is one of the cases that the traditional scanners, with just randomly clicking buttons, are actually struggle quite a lot with. So if you have some functionality hidden behind these multi-step workflows, chances that the scanner will be able to reach them is actually quite low. And consequently, it also means that we'll miss vulnerabilities in these functionalities, right? So let's recap. Traditional scanners will struggle with exploring deeper states which are hidden behind these multi-step workflows on websites. And that's the key limitation of them. And of course, there has been some machine learning-based methods that were proposed to combat that. Most of them are involved either you need some data to train the model on, like user-provided traces. You have to like teach the model to actually interact with the website, but it doesn't really scale well. You cannot. There is so much data that you need to provide it to be able to adequately perform at all websites. And also some reinforcement learning methods were explored, but they did not really work well. So what did you think about doing to solve that? So instead of a training model, there has been now a insert keyword here, large language models nowadays. And the intuition was that, OK, all these models were actually extensively trained on the websites and the documentation. So therefore, they should have some information on how to interact with the websites. And yeah, of course, there has been also prior non-academic works. And you've also seen a lot of AI browsers nowadays, which are supposed to assist users with executing some tasks on the website. Well, the issue is that, like book a hotel. But the issue is that instead of asking for the user for the interaction, we actually want our tool to be able to automatically explore the application on itself. So we don't really want to provide any user input like, yeah, you can book a hotel on this website, or you can book a train ticket. No, we just want it to figure out on its own. For that, we decide, OK, we need to use a LLM, and we need to build it in a certain way. So yeah, first, you start the prompt. You write. It's a very common technique that you actually need to assign a persona to the LLM. And we did that. We call it, yeah, you're a scanner, because it is. And this is how you're a scanner came to be. So we built a fully automated task-driven web application scanner that will automatically explore the web application, then execute all the tasks and workflows on the web application, and then we can use that to detect more vulnerabilities. So we built it in a very simple architecture. We have 3 stages, so they go one by one. First, we explore we do a shell crawl of the web application to just to get a feeling of what different functionalities there are. So we just click on all buttons on the front page single time, extract all the HTML elements, and then we provide it to the LLM in an abstract form and request to give us a list of tasks, like what can you do on this website. For example, it can provide us a list of tasks like you can add a new category for the product in CMS, you can edit the information for the existing product, or delete a previous order. This is just a short example of how it would look like. But it should give you an idea of what type of task it comes up with. And there's actually quite a large list of those. So now that we got the list of tasks, we need to execute them, right? And that's exactly what we do. And for that, we have a loop where we execute each task iteratively. So what that means is that at each step of the task, we first generate a simplified textual page representation. I go a little bit more in the detail over the next slides. Then we query LLM for the next command to execute on the page, for example, click button number 2. And then we execute the command. Finally, we collect all the endpoints and forms, which you can use then for the vulnerability scanning. And then you can plug any vulnerability scanning tool to then run the tests. So let's go a little bit more in detail on how exactly the task execution works. So we have a loop. Starting from the page, we do a page abstraction, select next action, execute action. And just to keep you on your toes, I will be going from right to left. We have a page where we collect some interactable elements. So let's say ad event. There is an event for the onclick. We extract all the text assigned to these elements. We filter out some redundant elements with like empty text boxes. And we assign an ID, like a sequential ID, so that we can then so that the model can then refer to a specific button it wants to click. This is the abstract page representation, which we then put in a prompt template, very basic one with a one-shot prompting. We give an example of how what we expected to see and what we expect to respond us with. We send it to LLM via API, and then we receive a reply, let's say click button number one, verify if it's actually the valid command, there is a button with ID number one, and it got sent to the action executor, which then can click on a button. Or for example, we also have a command where it can fill out the form, which then basically we have another agent that will, in a separate prompt, will go one by one in the input fields and then fill out them. We found out that it actually works better, which is why we did it this way. And finally, there is a stop command, which can signal us that, OK, the model has finished the task. We can switch to the next one. And as I said, we collect all the forms, which we then can send to the vulnerability scanning stage, in which, in our case, we use XSS detection engine of Black Widow, which was a state-of-the-art scanner for the XSS at the time. But you can also use SQL Map or whatever other security tool you want. The point is that we want to gain more coverage and explore as much as possible the endpoints, which we can then use in the security tool to actually detect vulnerabilities. OK, great. This is the general overview how the Euroscanner works. And the next step was for us to actually see, does it work better? Does it solve the problem that we actually outlined in the beginning with the multi-step workflows? And for that, we evaluated Eura on 20 popular modern web applications. We selected carefully so that they are from the different categories. There are CMS, there is a GitLab, like there is also MediaWiki and others. So that all they are from the different types of applications. So that, for example, machine learning methods would actually typically fail on those probably because they are trained to a specific kind of application. We divided our test bed in two sets. First one was the random subset of these 20 applications, just because we had to manually label the task that it generated and then see if they actually executed it successfully or not. And we also had the vulnerability detection tests, which were run on all set. OK, great. Let's then have a look at what data did we get. So in total, we generated 2,300 tasks on all the websites, on 10 web applications, yeah, sorry. And 77% were valid. But the remaining one, like 500, were invalid. And what I mean by that is that the functionality did not really exist on the website. And we found that this happened mostly because there was not enough context for the model to figure out the tasks. So for example, there was a page with just a login button, so we tried to come up with the nonsensical tasks. I mean, there could be sensical, but you can see that there is a login button, so we can, yeah, there is some functionality on there. But there is no clue, actually, about the actual tasks there. And for example, we also found this task, like get the detailed information about membership or subscription plans. But the thing is, this was actually on a MediaWiki website. Yeah, unlikely that there is such functionality exist. But yeah, that happened. Could be probably improved with a better context for the task generation. Next, we need to decide, OK, for all these 1,800 tasks, did Eura actually execute them correctly? And we found out that, yes, for the 37% of them, there was a clear success. It was able to identify the correct button. For example, there is an add new customers to the database. It identified the button. It identified the sub button there as well. It found the other button to actually create a user, create a customer, and then fill out the form correctly. And yeah, it was a success. There was a customer added to the database. Interestingly, there were also quite a few cases where the success was partial. And what I mean by that is that, let's say, it actually navigated correctly to the target functionality. Like in the previous example, it correctly identified, for example, sake, I would say that this is add new customers to database. But then it actually failed to fill out the form correctly. And we saw that, for example, in one applications that you had to cycle through the tabs to fill out the form, and it didn't figure out that it needs to do that. And therefore, it failed when it tried to submit the form. So it still reached the target functionality. We still can learn something from it. We can still, for example, do some client-side scanning on this particular page. But the task itself has failed, even though, yeah, we call it partial success. And the remaining ones were different kinds of failure. Notable ones are the missing state, where it, for example, tried to edit an object before it actually created one, or it could have created tried to create one, but then it failed to create one, so there is actually no object in list. And when it tried to edit that doesn't exist, well, you fail. So you have to first create an object, and then you can edit it. There has also been some cases where it deviated, so it clicked on the wrong button. It might have made sense to human as well, but it just clicked on the wrong button and didn't really end up in the right functionality. And the stop command actually ended up this like double-edged sword. So at one hand, it allows you to end the task execution and signal that. But on the other hand, the model then can just straight up give up at the very beginning and don't do anything. But yeah, overall, I would say that the LLM was able to execute quite a lot of tasks. We also tried to characterize, okay, but yeah, we execute all these tasks, but do we actually go deeper into the application? And we compared that with the Black Widow, other algorithms as well, and we found out that, well, yeah, interestingly, like in the blue one, you can see that this is the forms that were found by both Eura and other scanners, but the orange one is actually only Eura. So we can see that 44% were found by all scanners, and all the remaining ones were found by Eura. And interestingly, so the horizontal axis is actually steps it took to find how deep this form is. So the blue one stops at steps number 3. So it means that it doesn't really find forms deeper than 3 clicks away from the front page. While Eura actually goes beyond that, and it finds more forms after the click number 3. So yes, it does go deeper, and they are out of reach for traditional scanners. Great. So we build a tool using LLM. It actually works, and it helps us with the multi-step workflows. Great, right? Well, it's not all that shiny there out there. We found out that now we have more problems than we had before. For example, one of the tasks that we saw was delete a user from the user management section. And if you look closely, there is just a single user in this list. Do you know which user it is? It correctly identified, right? It navigated to this page. It clicked on the delete button. There is a confirmation dialog. Do you really want to delete this user? Yes, of course. The model has a task. It will execute it. Yeah, it deleted the user. What happens after? It cannot really proceed anymore. Pum, pum, pum. Yeah, so it's not that all good, even if you actually succeed at executing tasks. As for the vulnerability detection, yeah, this is was a paper for the security conference. You have to find vulnerabilities, so we did those, yeah, we outperformed Black Widow, the state of the art. We found more 0 days, which were allocated to offer clicks from the front page. And yeah, this sums up my presentation. Let's go quicker. Well, let's have a quick recap of what we talked about. So we talked about how coverage is vital for the vulnerability detection, that traditional scanners struggle with the multi-step workflows, therefore it will be hard for them to reach those deep functionalities of the website, and LLM can help with that. And I think it will actually get better, so we will probably see less hallucinations with the task generation, also the task execution may succeed more. And it can reach deep functionalities, but also, it can put the application in some unrecoverable state. So this was a pretty benign example before, but you can imagine what could happen if, for example, you try to test a SCADA application or whatever. Of course, you shouldn't do it on the actual staging environment. You should do it in some test environment. But they need some more safeguarding, and you should be careful about using them as is. That sums it up. Thank you very much. I will be glad to answer your questions.
Do we have any questions for Alex? Oh, there's two in the front.
Yeah, great presentation, thank you. I'm not sure which model you used, but I guess it can be very expensive testing 20 different applications. How much money did you spend on the tokens?
That's a great question. At the time of experiments, we used GPT-4, and if I remember correctly, all the experiments took somewhat near $200 because it was just a textual data at the time. So, of course, like Elsa showed before, that for example, you can see that sometimes the buttons do not really have a textual representation for them. So, obvious solution for that is that okay, let's use vision models. But they are much more expensive. Like if you supply screenshot as well, it works better, but it's more expensive. Yeah.
Thank you. There's another one.
Thanks for the presentation. Did you look into code coverage? So basically connecting this one with the code. And at some point I was like, next here goes like, now I'm doing fuzzing in the code.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, in this one, the code coverage didn't have that much advantage simply because we were exploring, let's say, just deeper in the web application, but not really like in breadth. So the traditional scanners may have had an edge a little on the code coverage. However, I would like to say that with the newer models, it actually works much better. But at the time, it was not so good on the code coverage, just because it was like more focused on specific functionalities. I would argue that if you give it more tasks in general, like you just make it generate more tasks, it should be able to get to the same level and even above of the traditional scanners. You can also combine them.
Any other questions? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you.